Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13. And thank you so much for coming to Wednesday night Bible study. To our guest, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're glad you're with us. And we are going to be continuing tonight. I know this is, I think, the sixth teaching on this verse, but the Lord has certainly been giving us some great, powerful information concerning faith, hope, and charity. We're going to do our best tonight to finish up on hope. Just one more little teaching on hope, and we'll be done. So that should give you some hope that we'll move on to charity. And I promise you, I won't try to teach everything about charity, since that would take about 1,000 years. We'll just hit it for a few Wednesday nights, Lord willing, maybe a couple of Sundays. And then we will carry on where the Lord leads us. In Jesus' name. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And our emphasis have been in our study upon these first three words, "And now abideth," a time given to us in which we operate in faith, in hope, and in charity. And in a time in which we abideth, in which faith, hope, and charity gives us the strength and ability to complete this walk with God. The word of the Lord says, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." I don't want to start the race. I want to finish the race. Amen? I want to make it all the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the revelation. We thank you for your word that you have given us, that you have spoken to us. We ask tonight, Lord, that you carry us just a little further in this great revelation of this word called hope. Strengthen us tonight. Cause us, Lord, to go forward with confidence in you, walking in your grace and in your love and in your mercy. We ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody say amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. If you have not made the previous studies, I would encourage you to go to our website and go to the podcast. All of the other studies are there. And they will be a great blessing to you. I don't want to spend time tonight reviewing over the other subjects. It would just simply take too long. We'll say that we learn the fact that we see through a glass darkly and that our understanding is limited. And we learn that faith, that when we walk in faith, it is what helps us, because the Bible says now faith. And faith is what keeps us in the present. It was enables us to continue to walk with God no matter what we see, no matter what is around us, no matter what's going on, no matter how our world may be falling apart. Our faith in God keeps us strong and allows us to go to the end. We learn, you know, Paul the Apostle says, "And now abideth." We learn that he talked about in chapter 13 that the day is going to come when we will be with Christ, and our understanding will be open. Our clarity will be given to our wisdom. But that day has not come. We still live here in the flesh, and we battle with our flesh. And so faith is there to help us and strengthen us. And then we talked about hope, and we're going to finish that up here tonight. And we spoke on hope now for three services. This will be our third, so I think it was Wednesday, Sunday, and now on Wednesday night again. And we learned that the three revelations of hope, the three foundations, should I say, are expectation. And then there is level two of hope is confidence. And then level three is rejoicing. That when we have real hope, we believe in the person, or in this case, the God who we have that hope in. We have confidence. First, we expect that he will indeed do it. That's what hope is. You have that expectation that God is going to accomplish it. And then, but not only the expectation, but the confidence that he is able. The word of the Lord says he is more than able to do above and beyond anything that you and I can think or imagine. He is a great God. He's a mighty God. Amen. And when you have that expectation, and then you have that confidence in your God that he's going to do it for you, then a rejoicing comes, a pleasure comes, and you can't help but rejoice in his presence. We learned about the relationship between faith and hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we looked into that incredible relationship between faith and hope. And I encourage you to go back and listen to Sunday's tape, CD online, especially if you haven't heard the message. The Lord blessed us so mightily, and we are thankful. But tonight I want to deal with a different aspect of hope. I want to talk about where hope comes from and how it is born on the inside of us. You know, there are a lot of things that come our way that we blame on the devil, and they're straight from God. You know, we go through a trial or a tribulation, and we get mad at the devil when the whole time God is right there working in our lives and teaching us and helping us and instructing us and directing us. He's allowing these things to take place. And so I want to look at where hope is born, or how hope is born inside of your heart, inside of your spirit. We talked about how that you can have faith without hope, but you cannot have hope without faith. If you have hope in something, if you're expecting, if you have confidence, if you are rejoicing, hope, you have hope in something, you must have faith in that something in order to have hope. But you can have faith in something but not have hope. And you say, well, how is that possible? And we touched on that I can believe, I can have faith that God is a healer, but I may have lost all hope that he will heal me. I can have faith and believe that God is a provider, but I have lost hope that he will provide for me. And I've met people like that will say, oh, I believe God is. I believe God does this. And yes, God is that and God is that. But, you know, not for me, just not me. Usually that type of an attitude comes from condemnation. When we get condemnation in our life, we begin to make comments like, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that. And God doesn't love me. Well, he will always love you. Let me clarify that. He will never stop loving you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. He never loved you because you were good. He never loved you because you did things right. He never loved you because you were perfect. In fact, his love, the word of the Lord said, for God so that he gave his only begotten son. It was your failure. It was your inadequacies. It was your faults and your shortcomings that caused the love of God to really be poured out upon humanity. So you'll never be good enough. You'll never qualify yourself in order to receive the good things of God. And so the Lord is here to bless us. He wants to bless us. It's his desire. The Bible says it is the desire of the Heavenly Father to pour out the good gifts of heaven upon you and I. He desires to do these things for us. But we know people. You've met someone. They believe in God. They have faith in God. But they've lost hope. And so hope is so important. We're going to talk about it here just a little bit. And we're going to find out that how God brings hope into our life isn't always a happy thing. It's not always a joyous thing. And the methods in which God actually births hope inside of my heart and inside of yours. But God understands the power and the value of hope. He understands that I need hope. I can't lose my hope. I got to have my hope. We talked about that on Sunday, how important it is. He understands that you need hope. You must have hope on the inside that links up with your faith, which will cause you to be stronger and mightier than anything that the adversary can possibly bring against you. Because I'm here to tell you, when you have hope, the hope that God will birth on the inside of you, and you link it up with your faith, it doesn't matter what's going on around in your life and how things may be falling apart, hope will keep you walking. Hope will keep you going. Hope will cause you to remain strong upon your feet and in your walk with God, believing that God will indeed come through before it's over. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So everybody say, hope's awesome. Hope is awesome. Hope plays a very vital part of our salvation. You know, we live in a religious world where the verse is quoted very often where it says, you know, we are saved by grace or by faith through grace. Huh, Lord? By grace through faith. Yeah, that's what I thought. We are saved by grace through faith. And friend, let me tell you something. That is absolutely the truth. None of us would be here without the grace of God. Can you say amen to that? But look at this verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 24. I find this very interesting that Paul the apostle, the same man that said we are saved by grace, he also said we are saved by So we are saved by grace, but we are also saved by. We're saved by grace because the grace of God, none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to be redeemed. We have not earned our right to enter into the kingdom of God. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. It is his unmerited favor that came into our lives. But hope has a very valuable part of your salvation as well. Grace gets you into God, but hope will keep you walking with God. Listen, I don't have a lot of money in the stock market, so I guess I could probably say this. Maybe if I had, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market, I might be freaking out right now. But since I don't, and I doubt too many of you do, and if you do, help me out with the building fund, will you? Get your money out of that stock market and give it to Jesus before you lose it all, for God's sake. But We all know that the stock market's going a little crazy, and it's probably having a what they call a correction, more than likely, and it's being tilted a little bit by China devaluing their currency, which holds most of the debts of America, and so it brings an instability to the American dollar, and so there's a lot of sell-off and many other variables that are involved with all of that. But you know, and I say this carefully because I don't mean that we're not affected by it, so I hope you understand. But that stock market can drop another 1,000 points tomorrow, and it's not going to bother my hope. Because my hope is not in the stock market. Because I know it goes up and it comes down. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus never has a bad day. Jesus never falls and rises and falls and rises. So hope, this hope that I'm talking about, that God gives to me and that God gives to you. It's beyond any hope that you can have in the world. You can walk into a doctor's office and the doctor can examine you and say, oh, this is nothing. And we're going to do a few things and take care of this and have a couple x-rays here and everything's going to be all right. And you're going to walk out of that doctor's office and you're going to have hope. But then he calls you up 2 days later and he says, oh my, when we looked at the x-rays, we found out that there's some large masses that are in your chest. Now all of a sudden the hope that the doctor had given you, which was up here, is now down here. Why? Because your hope was in the wrong place. When your hope is in God, it don't matter what the doctor says. My hope was never in your ability. My hope is in His ability. And so we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And so we find out that hope is a very vital part of our walk with God. And I feel like this is what the Lord has been trying to do over these last few services with us. He's trying to get into our brains. Don't lose your hope. It's powerful. It will help you overcome. It will help you endure. It will get you through the rough times. Because I got news for me and I got news for you. All of us are going to receive bad news. You live long enough, you're going to get some bad news. Somewhere down the line, whether it's with family or finances or your health, it's the world that we live in. It is the place that we live. But when our hope is anchored in Christ, the bad news may shake us a little bit, but it certainly will not tear us apart. We will stand back up because our hope is in God. And my hope will saved me. When the devil wanted to destroy me, my hope linked up with my faith. It will get me through. I will make it all the way to the end. Now, we were all given the measure of faith, but we were not given the measure of hope. Faith is something that is placed on the inside of you, but hope is something that is born. And I'm going to show you scripturally here in just a moment that there is a process in your life and a process in my life that we go through that produces hope. Now, I'm not talking about false hope. We have all kinds of false hopes every day. In fact, any hope outside of God is a false hope. And so we have things we believe in and hope in and get excited about and rejoice in all the time. And those things will come and go. But I am talking about a hope that God will create on the inside of you that is greater than any adversity, greater than the adversary, greater than any trial, greater than any persecution, greater than any tribulation. In fact, the hope I'm talking about is born out of adversity. It is born out of tribulation. It comes out of these persecutions. Born in the fire. We're not given measure of hope. Hope is something that is developed in us with our walk with God. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God. I don't have time to touch on all of this, but it all just so interwovens itself together. Now Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Hope is acquired through the grace of God. Salvation is acquired through the grace of God. Paul the Apostle said, we are saved by hope. Hope comes through the grace of God. It is his grace that is poured out upon us. So the question is, how is hope conceived? And how is it developed in me and in you? And it's important that we understand this because we need to allow hope to grow in our lives. And if we can get a revelation, an understanding of what is going on in our life, rather than being negative in so many areas, there will come a hope to us that God is doing something great. That this isn't, you know, you'll hear people say, well, this is happening to me because God hates me. No, this is happening to you because God loves you. Listen, I'll tell you, you study the Word of God. God doesn't put wood in the fire. He only puts gold in the fire. And he only puts silver in the fire. And if you love God and you're going through something and it's difficult and it's hard, it's because God trusts you. He knows you can make it. You're going to get through it. You're going to overcome. He has a faith in you. God's got more faith in you than you've got in yourself. He knows what you're made of. He knows you're an overcomer. He knows that you will conquer. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Hope is born out of tribulation through experience. We're going to look at that. The fact that God will never let us down. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. Look at your neighbor and say, you need hope. You know, we used to say, Lord, give me patience. Huh? And then we found out in the Bible there's only one way to get it. And that's through tribulation. So now we quit saying that. Like, God, I'm so patient. I'm so patient. Romans 5 and 2. By whom also we have access by faith. I want you to follow the Word of God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, we rejoice in hope because hope's foundation is rejoicing. It is expectation, confidence, and rejoicing. When you have real hope, rejoicing will come with it. Verse number 3, and not only so, but here it is. Wow, we could stop right here, couldn't we? How many of us are glorying in tribulation? Come on now, let's be honest. No. Most of us are waddling in tribulation. Complaining in tribulation. Moaning in tribulation. Rejoicing, we glory in tribulation. Also, why? Also, knowing, everybody say, why do we say, why do I glory in tribulation? Because I have revelation of something. The revelation is that I know this tribulation is going to work patience in me. So I'm going to learn to be patient
through tribulation.
So we say, well, who needs patience?
You do.
I mean, you already think I've been teaching too long. You're so impatient.
So I'm going to put you through a little more tribulation.
So tribulation does what? It works patience. Now look at verse number 4. And patience, the word is implied. He doesn't use it, but it's implied. Patience worketh experience. So I go through tribulation. I learn patience in God to wait on Him. And in patience, I acquire experiences in God. Hold on, we're going somewheres with this. And experience worketh hope. Now remember, we need hope. The Bible says you are saved by hope. If you walk with God and you have lost your hope, you're not going to walk with God very long. We need hope. It keeps us up on our feet, keeps us going. When everything's falling apart, hope keeps us believing and trusting and expecting and staying excited and rejoicing in God. Let's see if we can understand this. Just a little bit. Verse number 5. So, verse number 4, go back. So, verse number 3, go back. Everybody say, tribulations brings patience, which brings experience, which brings hope. Now here, look at verse 5. This is it. And hope maketh not ashamed. Once I get a hold of hope, there ain't nothing the devil can do to make me tuck my head, to bow down in shame, to think in my heart or my mind that God's not going to come through, that it's not going to happen, it's not going to come to pass. The devil doesn't want you to have hope, because when you have hope, you walk with an expectancy of God. You walk with a confidence of your God, and you rejoice in Him always. Paul the Apostle said, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. All right, so here it is. Tribulation. Now, nobody likes tribulations. Going through tough times, it's hard. Boss is beating up on you. Time you get home, your dog don't even know you. Your spouse is in a bad mood. And then you go to cook. I guess I'm picking on the ladies now, but so you burn the rice. Your water boils out on the eggs and you don't know it. Tribulations. We face tribulations today. We battle this flesh. We battle prince and powers of darkness, the Bible says. We go through tribulations. And we would like for the Lord to just remove those tribulations out of our life. But you need to study the word of the Lord. We live in an anemic religious world. All they want to hear is tell me how God is going to deliver me out of all of my troubles. I got news for you. He's not going to deliver you out of any of your troubles. But He will bring you through your troubles. And when you get on the other side, you're going to be stronger than you are right now. And in case you're wondering why you're going through the same thing over and over and over, because you haven't learned patience in your tribulation. And until you learn to be patient in this area of your life so God can truly work through you and flow through you, you are going to revisit that demon over and over and over and over again. But when you finally learn how to be patient in that tribulation, God says, okay, now it's time for the next step. And what is that? That is experience. So what is Paul saying? He's saying we go through tribulation. In our tribulation, we learn patience. We learn to wait on God. We learn to stop saying, God, deliver me and deliver me now. We learn that we are in the hands of God. God knows where we are. And no matter how hot it gets, if I wait on God, he'll show up in the flame. Listen, God didn't deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the flame. No, sir, he did not. They were thrown into the fire. He went into the fire with them. And when the king saw the power of God, it was the king that opened the door and brought them out. I'm going to tell you what we need. We don't need to ask God to get us out of our tribulation. We need to ask God to come into our tribulation. God, come join me. Come walk in the fire. Come join me in the lion's den. Woo! Why? Because when you join me in my tribulation and I learn my patience, the world will see the glory of God. And the world will see the... Did we not cast three men bound into that fire? Yes, sir. Why do I see four? And the fourth one is like the Son of God. Because when you learn patience in your tribulation, the glory of God will shine through you. Whether it's on your job, whatever situation you're going through in life, you learn patience in that tribulation, and your family begins to notice, and your coworkers begin to notice that you're not freaking out like everybody else, falling apart like everybody else. Instead, you're standing there saying, he's never failed me yet. I'll let you do the singing. So tribulation brings about patience. It teaches us to wait on God. And patience brings experience. Now what is experience? Experience is past happenings. So after enough tribulations and after enough patience, I get over here in the experience zone. And the experience zone says this: oh, honey, don't worry about it. God will come through. How do you know that? I've done been there. I've done bought the t-shirt. God has never failed me. It's called experience. When you enter the experience zone, somebody comes up to you with a problem and you're able to say, hey, don't worry about that. I know the one with the answer. And you're able to lay hands, listen, in confidence. Why? Because God has already brought you through. God has already brought you out. You went through that tribulation. You learned patience. Now you've got the experience that God is able. And when you get enough of those experiences, guess what's born? Hope. All of a sudden, this thing called hope is born inside of you. It was born out of tribulation. That's why hardship can't crush it. It was formed in patience. That's why you're able to stand there no matter how long it takes. It came out of experience. That's the reason why hope is able to believe God no matter how difficult it looks, because you have already experienced the deliverance and the saving, healing power of your Almighty God in that same situation. And all of a sudden, this thing called hope comes back, bursting out of your heart. And now, no matter what's going on, you're always expecting. You've always got confidence. You're always rejoicing. Because you've been through the tribulation. You've learned the patience. You've got the experience, and hope is born. And when you link hope up to faith, I'm telling you, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, we will turn this city upside down for Jesus Christ. Because it's a hurting world. It's a hurting world. And they're looking for men and women who are going through the same thing, who are not looking for deliverance, who are not looking for a way out, who are not searching the back door to see if it's still unlocked, but they're walking hand in hand, foot in foot with everybody else going through the same things. But hope has been born in your heart, and nothing can kill it, and nothing can take it out. And it doesn't matter if it's a brand new thing for you. That's what hope does for you. You know, Papa Dooley, old man Chris Dooley, is an incredible mechanic. His son is too, Jeremy. And it doesn't matter. It don't matter which one I use. Well, one of them is a little more expensive, but anyway. But when I bring my car, if by chance some other mechanic couldn't figure it out, which that really wouldn't be the case because I wouldn't use another mechanic, but when I bring my car and drop it off, I remember our Honda, our 1998 Honda Accord we bought for Caleb when he was in high school. And we drove it for a little while, and then the transmission went out. So I went to Jeremy because he's the cheap one. Listen, when they're both good, I always try the cheap one. So I went to Jeremy, and Jeremy said, he said, Pastor, he said, I really don't feel comfortable working on that transmission. It's a very difficult transmission to fix, and they don't even make the parts anymore. He said, my dad will probably have to manufacture the parts, which he can do. He's a great mechanic. He said, you really need to let the old man do it. That's not what he said, Sister Dooley. Don't tell Chris. And I said, all right. He said, he's done a few, and they run great. Well, I drove that car to him, or he came and got it. I came in. It doesn't matter. Gets out there, and I didn't have a doubt in my mind that that man was going to fix that car and that it was going to run just perfect. I didn't even ask him about a warranty because I knew he only gives a 3-day warranty anyway. I'm just kidding. Tell him he should have been here tonight. I didn't even ask because I don't know. That's been over a year now. It's been a while. I'm not sure how long. And that car still going. In fact, my boy Caleb came and picked it up and drove it all the way up to North Florida in the Panhandle. And that thing just runs like a dream. You know why I had that hope in him as a mechanic? Because in my tribulation, my broken vehicles over and over and over again, I learned patience while he took his time fixing them. Thank God he didn't charge by the hour. Of course, when I got the bill, I felt like he charged by the minute. So I went from tribulation to patience to experience. Because every time I drove off, it worked. And experience produced hope. Because now when something breaks, I'm not worried about whether he can fix it or not. I have hope. And my hope expects, and my hope has confidence, and my hope rejoices. Because I know when I bring that car to him, he will fix it. Even if it's something that's never broke down before, I know he can take care of it because he's fixed everything else. And that's what hope does inside of you. Once you go through the tribulations, you learn the patience, and you have experience after experience after experience after experience. And God never failed you. Never. And you get over here and something's brand new. You don't have to start all over in your tribulation. You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning in your patience, and you've already been through all that. You've got hope now. Now you just expect him to do it. Now you have the confidence that he will, no matter what. And so now in the middle of your tribulation, you're able to rejoice and be pleasing in the sight of God, because hope has been born in your heart. Somebody shout, I have hope. Shall I have hope? Oh my, I've been gone a long time. I'll be finishing in just a moment. Everybody say, I hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 8:24, I'm going back to it. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? See, once hope is born in you, you don't need evidence. You know, you can go back. I guarantee you, I didn't hang around. What's that guy's name? Gideon. I didn't hang around him much longer. But you know, when Gideon was going through the tribulation, the Lord expected him to war against Midianites. Thank you, baby. She forgot to put those notes in my study. War against the Midianites and set them free. Here you got old Gideon. Now, God had never delivered Gideon in a war. Gideon had never seen God work for him. In fact, what was the comment that Gideon had to the angelic host, the angel that came and saw him? He says, where is the miracles of my God? Where's the promises? Why, look at us all up here in bondage. Where's the miracles that all of my forefathers have talked about? Gideon had never experienced any of these things. And so here he is. He's in tribulation, and he hasn't learned patience or nothing. And so now you see Gideon, and he's saying, Lord, tonight, if this is what you're going to do, let the grass be wet and the fleece be dry. And he gets up, and there it is, oh my. And then he says, well, that's not enough. He said, tomorrow morning, let the fleece be wet and the grass be dry. And that was, and God did that for him. What's happening? He's learning patience in his tribulations. But he hadn't got his experience yet. And now God sends him down to the camp, and they have a dream. Somebody dreams about this big boiling bread, piece of bread rolling down and crushing everybody. And someone's sitting there saying, this is the sword of Gideon. And Gideon, he's getting excited. He's learning patience in his tribulation. He's getting a little bit of experience. He goes to war. God tells him what to do. It's unbelievable. He goes to the water, 32,000 men. And they had the first test is the fear. Whoever's afraid, you can go away. He thinks maybe a few is going to leave him. No. 22,000 men disappear. He's left with 10,000. They go to the brook. They lap like dogs. And now 9,700 of those have to go home. He's left with 300 men. Now talk about a learning experience with God. Yeah. And so they go in, and we know what happens. They break the little dillies, you know, and all of Israel is delivered. Now he has acquired experience. Friend, I promise you, after you go through something like that, when the next battle shows up, there's a hope
on the inside of you. If God can deliver me out of that, if God can deliver me out of that, if God can deliver me out of that, then God can certainly deliver me out of this. But you've never been through this before. It doesn't matter. It's the same God. And I know that he's more than able to do it. It's called hope. So what are you saying, Brother Kyle? I'm saying stop complaining about your tribulation. Learn from it. Learn patience. Rely on your experiences. Let them be gained up in your heart. And let hope be born. And it will transform your life forever. And when the devil comes against your finances, I have hope. And when the devil comes against your health, I have hope. And when the devil comes against your family, I have hope. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. I'm coming to a close. Verse 24, let's read that. For we are saved by hope. We talked about that, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope? Look at verse number 25. But if we have hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. When you have hope, you become the master of patience. Because hope tells you, I don't know when. And hope says, I don't know how. Huh? And hope says, I don't know where. I just know. I just know. That's what hope does. That's what hope does. Let's stand. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written after time were written for our learning. For we what? Through patience and comfort of what? Man, I could preach another hour right here. Did somebody say, go for it? That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You see, after you learn over and over and over and over again that his word never fails, then all you have to do, Sister Debbie, when you have tribulation, is go find the scripture. Because I have hope in his word. And if his word says it, then it will come to pass. It will happen. That's called hope in the word. Somebody say hope in the word. I'm trying to contain myself because I get going again and it'll be forever. And I've got to wrap up hope. We'll never have hope. We've got to finish this hope thing. So we have, everybody say, hope in the word. 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, skip it. Hebrews 16 and 18, I want you to read this. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Everybody say, hope in the word. And we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon what? Upon the hope set before us. Here it is. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Friend, when you get hope, you are anchored. And it doesn't matter how hard the wind blows. And it doesn't matter how long the storm lasts. What did Paul the apostle say? He come up out of that bottom of that boat 21 days in the night. No let up. The men. The Bible says the men on the boat had given up. That's right. They had given up hope that any of them would live. Paul the apostle comes up out of that boat and he said, men, fear not, for I have heard from God. And he said, not one hair from our heads. He said, just stay on the boat. You got to stay on the boat. What did Paul the apostle? He had hope. In the middle of a hopeless situation, like Abraham, he in a hopeless situation, with he believed in hope against hope, the anchor of the soul. One last verse. I'm done. I promise. Hebrews 3 and 6. I'm almost done. Hebrews 3 and 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? We are the house of Christ. If we hold fast, what? The confidence, right? That's level 2 of hope. If we hold fast, the confidence, and what? The rejoicing, level 3 of hope. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of what? Of the hope. How long? Firm unto the end. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Hope. Born out of tribulation, out of patience, out of experience comes hope. And hope doesn't have to see anything. Hope doesn't need evidence about nothing. Hope knows my God can do anything. You believe that? Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Reach over, get your neighbor's hand, or lay your hand upon their shoulder. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray, let this sink deep into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Help us to get a hold of this thing called hope, God. Help us to understand that we walk through tribulation. Lord Jesus, that is you teaching us patience. And in our patience, we will acquire experiences. And in our experiences, we'll be born the power of hope, and we will walk with a rejoicing in our spirit, no matter what's surrounding us, no matter what's going on or what's happening. We have hope in the resurrection of Christ. We have hope that he's coming back. We have hope of a glorious heaven. We have hope, Lord. You have never and you will never fail us or let us down. We know that no matter what we're facing, God, we will make it. We will get through it. We will overcome. It is the hope that is in us. Hallelujah. While the world frets, while the world is disturbed, while the world is fearful, God, we are steadfast in you, in the power of hope. Our hope that our God is with us. Our hope that our God will never leave us. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. Help us, God, to walk in hope. Help us to walk in strength. Help us to walk in power. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. And why don't you put your hands together with a hand clap of hope. Come on, let it be a hand clap of hope. Let the Lord hear the hope in your heart. Let the Lord hear the hope in your soul. Hope is an anchor. Hope is my anchor. Hope is my anchor. Hallelujah. You need to learn, look that devil right in the face and say, devil, I have hope. And it doesn't, and he'll understand that. He'll understand that better than you understand it. When you tell him, I have hope, what you're telling him is my soul is anchored and you're not moving me. I'm going all the way to the end with this thing. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest, most wonderful people in the world. Greet one another. Love one another. Be kind to one another. Fellowship with one another. Hug one another. Tell each other how pretty they are.